Just by the way, I have so many copies of the Bible in my office. I have so many Bibles. This is one of them, and I just love this Bible. I have one of the Bibles. It's a Spirit-filled life student Bible. Somebody left it here. Please make sure if you left your Bible, carry your sword with you. Amen? Unless you have several copies of the Bible in your home. But I don't think it is a good thing for you to leave. Some of those Bibles have been here for several weeks, and I wondered, really somebody brought them into the house of God, and I wonder what you've been reading. So if you lost your Bible or you left the Bible here in the church, you can come and see me. I have several copies, and it might be one of your copies. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited to be in the house of God today. When I woke up in the morning, I just felt like I couldn't just wait to get into the presence of the Lord. Simply because I've seen God move in a mighty way in my life, and it's like God is taking me from one glory to another. Particularly when we go out, you know, for this outreach, and I would really, really, really encourage every one of you to come and participate. The Lord is doing wondrous things. You know, just sometimes we find ourselves in situations whereby we are complaining and we are looking down upon our lives, and we are having this feeling of inadequacy. And when you get into the streets and see what people are going through, then you are able to thank the Lord for the things that He has done in your life. Amen. So I'd really encourage every single one of us to come and participate. We'll be meeting here. I know Pastor Francis will be announcing this to us, but I just feel like I need to sensitize you upon over this issue, because it's of paramount importance. Come and go. Let us tell people about Jesus. It is okay to come into this house and to just feel the embrace, the warmth of each other. But the Lord is speaking to us in this hour that we may reach out unto the people who are suffering. Amen? You know, yesterday somebody really challenged me, I think in the couples meeting, and this is exactly what she said. She said some of the things that that are delegated to us, like going to work, nobody wakes you up to remind you that you gotta go to work. Nobody ever reminds you that you have to go take a shower. Those things, they just flow instinctively. You wake up in the morning and you know by 8 o'clock you got to go to work, and you have to clock in and you got to take a shower. Nobody reminds you to do those things. Why? Because they're important in your life. Amen? And I believe in much the same way when we are introduced into to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we begin to learn the concepts of faith and the mission that God has put us here on earth, those things also are important. And whenever you have an opportunity, I know that we are busy, and I know we are committed with many things, but let me tell you, the most important things is to tell is that we, any important agenda or endeavor that you can ever have on this earth is to get an opportunity to share somebody, to share Jesus with somebody. Amen? And so we have a thing that we have organized here in the church where we'll be going out to tell people. Man, people are desperate, emotionally drained. And I just thank God for Evangelist Boyd's family, you know, who have volunteered, and we are going together. And I'll be making a plea for every one of you that we would need hygiene stuff like toothpaste, toothbrushes, bars of soap, you know, women hygiene stuff, you know what I'm talking about. If the Lord speaks in your heart, buy those things and bring them here. If you don't have an opportunity to go down there, guess what? We will package those items, and we'll be able to give them to those people down there. Amen? And your gift will be representing you even as we go to outreach and tell people about the Lord. I know there are certain things the Lord is speaking to me, but I just want to wait upon the Lord for how He is going to guide us. So I just want to challenge you as a church. The moment you introduce yourself into getting the message out to the people, it is a benefit to you. Amen? If this little kid right here can tell, it's a challenge to me. If this little baby here can go and pray with people, I believe we also can do it. Amen? So if you're going to be free, this coming Saturday at 11. I've talked to Brother Israel. I'm also talking to Brother Julius. We want to go there with a guitar and have a mini crusade. How many of you remember those mini crusades we used to do in Kenya? We want to do a, we have a place we can go stand, sing, glorify the Lord with song and preach and tell these people about the Lord. If you can do that, the Lord is going to bless you indeed. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you take that message to heart? Amen. If you do so, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn into your Bibles in the book of Romans, chapter number 4, verse number 17. I hope I'm not going to be long this morning, but there's something the Lord has deposited in my spirit that I believe that we need to share, and I know that you're going to be blessed. I know that you're going to be ministered to. Praise the Lord. It's good to see some longtime friends. Mama Sharon and my dear friend Sister Anne. How are you, Sister Anne? Anne Pato, that's how I call her, Anne Pato. Praise God. And also it's good to see Jimmy and to see, where's Felista? She's at home. Oh, but it's good to see you. But anyway, we'll be giving you an opportunity to come and greet the church. Amen. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 17. The Bible says, Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 17. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, and that is God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, this little text that I have, Lord, prepared, you led me into this. And I pray that even as we share, Father God, I ask you to speak through me, Lord. Father, I take captive every mind, Father, that it shall be receptive to the word of the Lord this afternoon. And I thank you at the end of the day, Father, you shall be glorified, O God. Come and minister to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. I want to bring to you a message that I call calling those things which do not exist as though they did. Praise God. Calling those things which do not exist as though they did. Just before I speak the word of the Lord, there's a small thing that I got here, and I would like to read it to you. Two children were playing on a hillside when they noticed that the sun was soon to be gone and night would come. The one little girl remarked, look, the sun has almost gone down. Just a little bit ago, it was so much higher over the trees right there. The girl's sister, however, responded, well, the sun didn't really move. Dad says that it is the earth that moves, not the sun. To this, the first sister replied, the sun did too move, not the earth. I've been standing here the whole time, and the earth was perfectly still while I watched the sun go down. I know what I see. I know what I see. To this, the other sister answered, well, I believe, Father, even if it doesn't look that way, and all humanity has been divided this way ever since. They either believe that their senses tell them or what our Heavenly Father has told us. We must believe one or the other. Praise the Lord. Amen. As I was thinking what to come and share this morning, the Lord dropped this message into my heart. Calling those things which do not exist as though they are. And when everybody is born, when the little babies are born, just like my little boy was born, we come into this earth. God puts in our nature certain things that we are able to perceive, the things that we are able to see. For example, we have the five senses that God gives each and every one of us. Can anyone name the five senses that we have? Anybody just mention the five senses? The common sense. Actually, they are called the common senses. Sight, smell, touch. What else? Taste, hearing, feel is touch. I think you mentioned all of them. The five common senses. And sometimes when you do something wrong, have you ever had somebody tell you, use your five common senses? And sometimes it looks like it is an abusive utterance. You know, when you're doing a stupid thing or you are caught up doing a stupid thing and somebody comes and tells you, can't you use your five common senses? In other words, when a child is born into this earth, there are certain things that God has put in us so that we can only perceive those things within the realm of the earth, the realm of the world where God has created us. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he planted a garden. In fact, let me tell you, if you read Genesis, he says he planted the garden. And he put trees that will produce food, and he made the garden pleasing to the eye. And he puts Adam and Eve in this garden just to take care as a caretaker of this garden. And when the enemy comes and begins to speak to Eve about disobeying the instructions that God had given to Adam, he succeeds. And what happens? They disobey the instructions that God had given them, not to eat of that one tree that was in the central place of the garden. And what happens is that as a result of disobedience, sin is introduced into the DNA human race. And that's why every single child that is born on earth, even when you are born, when I was born, there was an inblend, there was a signature of sin, not just by choice. It was an Adamic sin that was incorporated within my DNA. My son right now is 15 years old. And you would think 15 months old, you know, my youngest son, 15 months old. That's a young kid, right? And you would think, you know, you would tell him to do, you would tell him, hey, Joshua, stop doing what you're doing. And he would, you know, peacefully say, okay, thank you, Daddy, and he moves away. But the moment I tell my son, Joshua, stop what you're doing, he likes, you know, tapping into the computer, climbing. We've never had an adventurous son like we have in Joshua. He's the one who climbs over the walls. He wants to climb over the curtain, pulling every down, just tearing everything. We never saw that in Ron, never saw that in Susie, never saw that in Jeremy, but we are seeing this in my little Joshua. I believe the name Joshua, he is a fighter, a warrior. But I want him to use the energies that I incorporated in him to serve the Lord. Amen. And so every now and then, actually more often than I've done to any one of my kids, I tell him, stop doing this. And you know what he does? He throws everything and he goes hitting everybody saying, you know, I don't even know what to told him that, you know, he can react, you know, so aggressively. It's like it is implanted in any little one that we have brought into this earth to disobey. We are not sinners by choice. We are sinners by inheritance. There is an Adamic sin that is in control over every human being who comes into this earth. And when God brings us into this earth, he incorporates things that would assist us to live in this universe. Praise the Lord. But God had a wonderful plan and a greater plan before the fall of man. When men fell into sin, they were a little bit limited to what they were able to accomplish or achieve before the fall. And we, you know, time didn't take, you know, it didn't take, we didn't have a lot of time to experience what Adam and Eve could have experienced in the garden as the Lord led and guided them. Because no sooner had the Lord put them in the garden, did the enemy creep in and deceive them, and they disobeyed the instructions of the Lord. And so their expectations at that point was cut off. Praise the Lord. I want to put it across to you, my fellow brothers and sisters, that God's intention for any human being is to do greater and more than we, the way we know it. Greater and abundantly more than anything that we ever knew. Praise the Lord. But just because of the sinful nature, we
are limited to do certain things. Because of the sinful nature, the human race is not able to maximize their potential unless something comes and nullify the power of sin. Praise be to God. And God, through eternity, has tried to send the prophets, and the prophets would not even deliver the message or not fulfill the purpose for which God had intended. The prophets would be sent to us and would kill them. You know, we would have the law instituted, the law of Moses, and as we saw through the children of Israel, but the law didn't even break that limitation which was created by the disobedience of the first man, Adam. Until Jesus comes into the picture. I just want to bring it quickly because you already know exactly, but I just want to build a foundation so that you can understand. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, the Bible says that since the law would not have come to rectify or dismantle this world that was created since creation, Jesus now comes in a form of a sinful form. Praise be to God. And even though he was sinless, he comes into the picture, and God sends him as the only begotten Son of God, and he comes as an ultimate son of the ultimate sacrifice that would come and break this barrier so that everybody would achieve the limit, the capability, and achieve limitless capabilities which God intended originally in a human being. And so Jesus comes in a form that is just like us, you know, a body, and he comes as a human being as well as God, and he goes through the process of the cross, and he presents himself to the cross so that he would fulfill the purpose for which he is sent by God. And Jesus goes to the cross while in this form of human flesh, even though he was not a sinner, and the Lord uses him as a sacrifice to break that barrier which was eternally created by Adam and Eve. Praise God. Can we go into the book of Romans chapter number 8? Because it's very, very interesting if we read that. This is what the Bible says. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse number 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh. Praise God. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Anyone who is ungenerated, anybody who is not born again, anybody who has not given their lives to Jesus, anybody who has not submitted their lives to Jesus, no matter how they can try to break that barrier, it would be impossible. Praise God. According to this word, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity and against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Nobody who is born again, no matter how they would want to please God, can succeed in pleasing the Lord. Amen? And let me tell you, when we are transformed, when we are born again, and we cross over, and we now declare ourselves as sons of God. Amen? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with. And as many as came to him, what did he do? He gave them power to become sons of God. John chapter number 1. When we cross over into this side so that now we are generated, the barrier of sin is broken. And we are able to please God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And that's why we encounter difficulty in not understanding how the people who are still in this earth struggle to please God. We cannot please God by our work. We can never please God, or we can never achieve the mark of a high mark whereby we feel like, you know what, I have a relationship with God just by works alone. There has to be that transformation power that takes place in every human being so that when you cross over, there is a complete transformation. And that transformation is spiritual. Praise the Lord. It is a spiritual transformation that takes place in a human being. I am getting somewhere. Praise the Lord. I thank God because the Bible admonishes us that the things that are connected to the flesh can only gratify fleshly things. That's why anybody who doesn't know the Lord, and even as we go down the streets, you know, when you have that understanding of the operations of the spiritual realm, you're able to understand when you're rejected. When they throw, like this guy yesterday, he was drinking beer, and he was a little bit drunk, and I'm looking him at the face, and I'm telling him, you know what, Jesus loves you. And he looks at me, like so intently. He looks at me, and I thought maybe the next thing he would jump on me. And I'm telling him, Jesus loves you. And he said, can I have a bottle of water? And I gave him the bottle of water. And I continued telling him, Jesus loves you. But this guy was so drunk. Do you remember that guy? And you know what he did? As I kept telling him, Jesus loves you, he picked up the bottle and he threw it away. Let me tell you. Because of what Jesus, because Jesus inhabits and lives in me, I understand why he would do that. He hasn't crossed over the barrier. But I have to tell him about Jesus. And if he would be willing, I would introduce Jesus into his life. And Jesus would pick him up from the position where he is into this other side. And it will break that barrier and he'll begin to understand. Church, let me tell you. It is something that I cannot even be able to explain. It's something that you will never be able to explain what exactly happens when you surrender your life to Jesus. That transformation is so powerful because when you get born again, that you suddenly you feel like, you know, you've been a sinner, and it's there's an awareness of what you used to be, and this kind of like a flashing in your mind that creates an alertness of who you are and the position where you're supposed to be, so that the things that you used to do long time ago you begin not to do them anymore. It is the power of the Spirit of God that is at work in a believer's life. Praise be to God. Calling those things that you may not see as if they are. Praise the Lord. I thank God because God is a spirit. And he who worships God must do so in what? In the spirit. Without faith, we can never please who? God. Anybody who tries to please God while they are undegenerated, it is vain work. There has to be a transformation that takes place. And this transformation, when it comes here, it introduces the concept of faith. Let me tell you, church, the greatest enemy that the devil has in the church is not you. But the greatest enemy that the devil has is the concept of faith. Praise be to God. And the devil will do whatever it takes to make sure that you do not apply the concept of faith in glorifying your God. The devil understands very clearly that without faith, God can never be pleased. So if he can alienate you or separate you from the concept of faith, then he wins the war. It is a divide and rule tactic. And the Bible admonishes me. Praise be to God. Let's go into the book of Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. And if you're there, you can read it, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter number 11. Now listen to me. Hebrews chapter number 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can you read with me? Now faith is a substance. Praise the Lord. The faith is a substance of things hoped for. What do you hope? What in your life would you hope for? What are the things that you hope for as a believer? What are the things that you hope for as a human being? Faith is a substance of those things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. Go down in verse number 2. For by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. It is by faith that we understand. We have no doubt in our minds that the earths that we hear about, the universe was created by God through faith. It is by faith that we understand that this was true. Amen? So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Praise be to God. That part number B, if you can just grasp it and ask the Holy Spirit to break it down on you. For the things that we see were not created out of the things that we. The things that we see were not created out of the things that we see. Everything that you have ever heard in your life, any dream that you can ever conceptualize in your life, emanated or existed somewhere in the spiritual realm. Now, our physical eyes don't have an ability to see everything. But the fact that we are not able to see those things doesn't mean that they do not exist. I have told you before that we read about bacteria, we read about viruses, we read about those little things, microscopic organisms. They're still alive. They kick, they beat, they have life in them. But the fact that we may not physically see them with our physical eyes doesn't remove the fact that they never exist. Praise the Lord. If you don't believe them, you can be attacked with a cold virus and you will be sick, even though you never physically can see it with your own physical eyes. That what that tells me, therefore, the word of the Lord is truth. It says that everything that we are able to see was created out of an invisible realm. It means, therefore, that God spoke into the supernatural, and there were things that were spoken into a realm that we cannot ever see. And through divine connection and through divine intervention, God brings those things into manifestation. Hallelujah. Now, I want to put it across to you. The person who has not crossed over the barrier cannot have an access to that invisible realm. It is until you are generated, you are born again, and you have submitted your life to the Lord, because you know what? God is not pleased without faith. Hallelujah. We cannot come to God unless we have that hope. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have to have that concrete belief within us that God exists somewhere. Praise the Lord. And his operation is universal. And he is working somewhere where we cannot see by our own physical eyes. The mind that is set on the flesh is only limited to the five senses. That's why, let me tell you, unless we pray and ask God to intervene, even as we go to reach out to those people, so that the Lord can come and draw himself to them, we'll be doing vain work. We are not the ones who save people. It is the power that indwells us that God uses to go and save those people. When you pray for somebody who is sick, it is not us who heal the person, but the power that resides inside of us transforms, gets us into another realm, and we go snatch their healing and we bring it back to them. Are you getting it? And there's a tendency whereby the enemy would try to just make us live life that we used to live before. Even though the power that is transformative, that can transform things and agendas and situations in our lives, is resident within us. Are you hearing me? And I'll remind you of this lady. I've told you this story before. Of a lady, this lady who boarded a plane, and she went, you know, across to her destinations, and people were getting snacks, people were getting food, people were getting drinks, and she thought people were paying, but it was included in her ticket. And when she got at her destination, she asked everybody, "Oh, everybody looks seemed like they are so rich and they have so much money. How come nobody came and gave me?" Because every time she, you know, the waitress would come and she would come and ask, "Oh, what do you want?" She would say, "Oh no, I'm okay." But she was not okay. She thought maybe she was supposed to pay for them. And at the end of the destination, as she was chatting with some other people, she said, "Oh, why were you not eating? Everything is included in the ticket." That's what happens to most of us. I included. We have the power that can transform, that can reach out into the invisible realm, the non-natural realm. That's what I call it. You can call it the supernatural realm, but I call it the non-natural realm. Praise God. I have the ability and the potential and the capability that I can ignite, or I can cause to kick in, and it can drive me into the supernatural realm. Praise God. For let me tell you, God never created us just to be confined within the natural things. If he did, then what was the purpose of this earth? Where are we going? Why is there any heaven? Because things in heaven will be completely different from the things. The Bible says, no eyes have seen, no ear has heard the things that are prepared for the children of God. And it tells me, therefore, that there are things that are past the ordinary nature where we live in, things that are greater that we are supposed to be experiencing. But guess what? We have to ignite the power within us so that we can drive into the non-visible realm. Child of God, listen to me. How many times have you made a visit into the non-visible realm? There is everything that is within you. And I'm going to show you, prove to you in a little bit. Everything that you need to get into the non-natural realm, you have it. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And I'll give you an illustration. This is exactly what happens. In the natural realm, if you have some food, what would you do? And you're hungry, what do you do? You don't need faith. You just go. If you know that you have food in your fridge and you're hungry and it's just like maybe 11 a.m. or 12, whatever time is your lunch, you just get into the fridge and you get your whatever you, if you want to prepare nice, smelling, sweet, you know, I like something smelling nicely. You get into your kitchen, you get some onions and you cut them up. You cut the tomatoes, you chop the spinach and you turn on the cooker. And you put on the, whatever you put in the pot, and you make that, you know, the sweetness of that aroma just hits you. You know, you don't need any faith. Do you need any faith? You just get into your fridge and prepare a meal, right? And within minutes, you'll be sitting on your dining table, whatever, kitchen table, and you'll be eating your meal. But suppose, let's say, for example, maybe Julius, my buddy in McKinney. We all go visit Sister Charity, and you know, she is very generous, and you know, we didn't expect, we just wanted to surprise her, and we just bombarded into her house, and she says she has this confidence because we've had this testimony that there's always food in Julius's place, and so when we decide to go and visit them, we know that we're going to find food there. But when we go, all of us, she says, "Wow, wait a minute, I only have 3 chicken. I cannot buy the whole bulingo of chicken. I don't have anyone. I don't know where I would keep them." And so she would go into her reservoir or whatever, you know, into her refrigerator, and she would find 3 chicken, and she would come and consult with her husband, and she would say, "You know what? We cannot feed these people unless a miracle happens. So you better get yourself to Walmart and go buy a few chicken." Let me tell you, some of you didn't know. The biggest chicken outlet where chickens are processed is actually in McKinney. Did you ever know that? No, in Sherman. In Sherman. That's where the in Texas, around here. There's one in Pittsburgh, Texas. There's one in Sherman. There's one in Lufkin. Those are, when you eat chicken, these are coming from those places. And so what happens is that she, Minister Julius goes to Walmart, and he is pretty sure that he won't miss chicken in Walmart. But suppose she goes on the chicken aisle in Walmart and realizes, oh my goodness, what happened? There's no chicken, there's no turkey, there's nothing. What do you think would happen to him? Cook chapatis. But we are interested in chicken meal. Walmart would have disappointed Julius. But this is exactly what happens. Walmart makes sure that there's a truck that goes all the way to Sherman, takes the chicken to a distribution center, and makes sure that the inventory in their neighborhood Walmart is fulfilled. Are you getting me? Now listen to this. This is what faith works. In order for us to acquire certain things that we need right now, it will be vain for us to use our just designed common sense. Sometimes we have to defy the common sense. And we have to accept that the Bible says that to everyone, there's a certain measure of faith that is distributed. Paul speaks to the Romans and he tells them, you know what? Do not regard either one of you as higher than or lower than anyone else. Because you know what? God has dished out a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. Or you have a measure of faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. Praise be to God. No one here who is born again. You have accepted Jesus Christ and his residence in your life. You cannot convince me that you don't have a measure. The Bible says that you have a measure of faith. Say, thank you, Jesus. Because that, it doesn't matter. Listen, the Bible says if you have even as small as a mustard seed. So I don't know how God weighs or measures his faith. It might be maybe in kilometers. It might be in miles. It might be in ounces. I don't care. But the Bible says that to everybody has been given a measure of faith. Even this little baby. That's why she goes and tells everybody, can I pray with you? And then she has faith that those people will yield to her. It won't happen. And so this is what happens. Faith is like a vehicle. Somebody say a vehicle. And every now and then you need things that defy common sense. Things that you need. You really need no. You really in your know that unless God intervenes in this case, I cannot do it by my own wisdom or limit or within my own capability. It might be an anger issue. It might be a stress issue. It might be a sickness issue. It might be something that needs to be called and pulled from an unseen realm. Faith is a vehicle that we get into. Somebody say, get into faith right now. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Everybody has a little car, even though you may not see it, called faith. Glory be to God. And let me tell you, sometimes what happens, the devil would try to steal the keys of that car. Oh, hey, thank you, Jesus. Somebody, devil has come to steal the keys of that car. But God wants you every single moment because he has called us for a higher life. We are peculiar people. We are more than. Let me tell you, if I look you at you, you're just a regular human being, right? If I put somebody who is not undegenerated, I would never probably tell if I first looked at you. But God, just because you have accepted him as the Lord and Savior, just because you have given him residence in your heart, there is a transformation that has taken place in your life. And God has given you the keys of a car known as faith. He has given you that small faith. It might be as small as a mustard seed, but God is saying, as long as you have it, you have that car. And this is what happens. God requires you to get into that car and drive it into a realm called non-natural realm. The things that we need, desperately need, will not just service up, but it will call for somebody to get into a car known as faith and drive and drive and drive into a realm called non-natural world or a supernatural realm. And let me tell you, church, the moment you get into that car, God rises on his feet. He says, I see something that I can identify with. I see something that that my heart is connected to. Glory be to Jesus. For without faith, we can't please God. Many times, let me tell you, the reason why we wander about and we struggle is because, you know, the devil has pressed down and hidden the fact that we need to get into our faith car.
And many times we want to solve problems by our own five common sense. Let me tell you, in the hearing of my sound, listen to me, child of God, that there's nothing that you can achieve with our five common sense. The things that we can only achieve are things that are of this realm. But God never called you just to be confined or on a life that is just confined on this realm. Every once in a while, there is a nudge in my spirit that I want to go higher. I want to expand my territory. I'm devoid of some money, and I need to go get some money in the unseen realm. And let me tell you, God is telling me to tell you that sometimes you have to get into your car known as faith and drive it into the non-natural realm. Go up there, and when God stands on his feet, the angels are at attention because they can see something that identifies with their master. And the moment you show up in the non-natural realm, God is able to say, what do you need, my son? What do you need, my son? Like Daniel. Glory be to Jesus. He prayed a prayer. Sometimes, church, we've gotten into this car and we've gone into the non-natural realm. Isn't it amazing? Most of us I know come from Africa. In Africa, things are slow, right? Things are not as fast as we have experienced here in this nation. And if you prayed a prayer and waited upon the Lord to answer your prayer, and if he delayed, it was kind of okay, because, you know, there's things that you have waited and they never took place. And now God opened up a way and we came to America. America is, you know, why can't I get it right now? Why can't you sign this paper? It is why? You know, I need my food right now. Even before a minute is over, you put 2 minutes and you're just tapping on your feet on your micro. You need food right now. It's an instant culture. You need it right now. And many times we've jumped into that car called faith, and we moved into an unseen realm. And we told God, this is exactly what I need. This is a description of my need. This is how long I want it. This is how wide I need it. This is how tall I need it. And God said, yes, sir, I have sent it out. And we have brought back the God into the car and come into this natural realm that we do. And we are tapping and waiting. Oh, God, yes, I told you. But let me tell you, church, the fact that you told it to God doesn't mean that God never heard it. It has been released into the spiritual realm, but it might be held up somewhere. And what we need to do is keep on interceding. Keep on interceding for those angels who are holding up on your answer. I'm here to tell you, church, that the devil is on the run right now, trying to separate you from the concept of faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we will struggle in our Christian life. Without faith, we cannot even speak a prayer that is powerful. Glory be to Jesus. And God says that I would like you to now come boldly into the throne room of God. Come boldly, because you have all the rights that gives you access to the Holy of Holies. And the moment you're at the Holy of Holies, you can obtain mercy, and you can obtain what? Grace that would assist you in hard times. Praise be to God. Is somebody listening? Come boldly, because you have all the rights, all the credentials that you need. How do we go before the Lord? Oh God, you know what? If Lord, you're willing, if you're really willing, if you're wanting to bless me, God is not going to answer that kind of a prayer. That is a natural prayer that we pray. But God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you did for me. Lord, I thank you for the blood. I thank you because you've given me power and authority over all the schemes of darkness. I thank you and I worship you because there is no other God like you. Oh, mighty Jehovah, the great I am, I adore you. God, I worship and I glorify you. Okay, what's going on, son? What's going on? What's going on? And at that moment, you're already in your car. And you're getting into the Holy of Holies. Let me tell you, at that point, you're getting into another realm where people will not even understand. Sometimes you might look into the ordinary eye, into the physical ears, you might be looking like you're crazy. But let me tell you, nobody ought to understand what you do. If God calls me a peculiar person, I don't even intend for any natural person to understand what I do in this earth, because the Bible calls me a supernatural, a peculiar person. Some of us are so wary and so really so aware of what other people will feel.
I was telling somebody, listen to me. I was telling somebody, you know what? I don't care now. God has put a mission to go out and tell people about Jesus. And ain't nothing's going to stop me because I know that's the mandate that God has given me. If you don't come, I will go. If nobody shows up, I will go with my van up there and I'll tell them about Jesus. Because I know something that, you know what? It will take somebody who has crossed over to bring these people who cannot even do anything for themselves. They're emotionally drained. You can see the hunger. You can see the thirst that they have for the things of the Lord. But unless somebody picks them up, somebody who has been on this other side. Huh? When you come to God, I met another guy just the other day. This is what he told me. He went to Sweden. And you know, Sweden is, they speak Swedish, right? Or whatever language they speak. And it's not a very common language. And having come from Kenya, the only language that he knew was English, Swahili, and his mother language. And so he's here, and the people that he went to visit, they have been there several years, and let me tell you, he could not even believe these were his own kindred. Because they were going, they'll say, what? What are you speaking? They'll say, yeah. They don't understand what he's saying. And this is what this guy told me. He told me, now, if I don't do something here, I am going to die. I am going to be desolate. I cannot depend on my own, on these people. I know sooner or later they're going to chuck me out of the house. So he told me, every single day I'm going to learn 10 words. And he purposed. He was an old man. In fact, he was an old man. I met him at Jimmy's the last time we went there. He told me, every day, Pastor, I learned 10 words and I memorized them. Within 1 month, I was... What do we get from that area? When you go to a certain city or a certain area, you have to learn the language of that area. Learn the culture, learn the customs, learn everything that is connected so that you can survive. We have been born again. We have to learn the culture of Christianity. We have to learn what it will cost to make things happen. Oh, are you listening to me? It will be nonsensical, and sorry to use that word if I stepped on anybody, if we already have been crossed over, the Lord has redeemed us, and we are still confining our minds into the thinking of the old realm. And you know it is possible? Do you know it happens in the church, or do you think it doesn't happen? The Bible says that we must work our salvation in fear. It is you who must say. It is not Pastor Tony, it is not the elders of Empowerment Christian Center who are going to help you work your salvation in fear. And tell me, say this, I have to work my salvation with fear and trembling. It is us who are supposed to work our salvation in fear and trembling. Praise be to God. Now listen, when you cross over into this area, God expects us to do things that are extraordinary. Why? Because he has put things that would cause those things to happen as opposed to the things that are in the lives of these other people who, let me tell you, anybody who is not born again, no matter how they can pray and call for God to bring his angels to save this earth, that prayer is not going anywhere. Because how can the person who's inclined in the flesh pray a prayer that, it will still be inclined in the flesh? It will take a person who has known God, a peculiar person, to call upon heaven, and God will send his angels to come and pluck them out of. When you realize the power you have and somebody's calling you in the midnight hour to pray for them, you will throw those blankets up and know, oh my God, I have to wake up and declare things in the atmosphere so that they can happen on people's behalf. Are you listening to me? When you know your God so intensively, let me tell you, there are things, stupid and mediocre things that we are not going to be involved in. And I was saying, Do you think those things just come by osmosis? Please excuse me. I'm not really being rude, but I feel like sometimes when we are children of God, we expect now that we are born again, oh, the Holy Spirit will take over. You know, he will lead me into streams of living waters. You know what? Oh, as long as I'm born again, you know, my roots will go deep. Go deep where? Because, you know why I know that, Pastor Steve? There are people who get out of this door even after we leave service. And my God, you cannot even believe the words that are coming out of their mouth. Tinga, huh? Talk apa. Unafana tu baba yako. Get out of here. Man, you just in the church just a few minutes ago. I thought you were degenerated. I thought you have crossed the barrier. What happens when somebody cuts you and you just get out of the church and somebody cuts you on traffic? What do you do? Do you also press on your gas? Then you cut, you know, with the... Huh? Don't we do that? May the Lord help us, church. That power should be raised. It's the little things. Period. I've told you, told us about the little things. How many of you have not stolen clips in your offices? Huh? Clips. I say, oh, I don't have clips. They were just really going down. Nobody sees. The supervisor doesn't see you. The clips you're using are stolen clips. How many of you have walked into an office, you're signing, somebody, oh, can I have a pen? Huh? Can I have a pen? And you sign, and you just pretend that, you know, nobody gave you that pen, and you own that pen, and you go, and you know in your Noah, the Holy Spirit says, why are you going with a pen? And you're telling the Holy Spirit, "Ana kalamu, Holy Spirit, this is something small. It is somebody's pen." Let me tell you, it happened to me one day. I am walking into this office, and somebody gives me a very nice pen. I ask them, "Can I have a pen?" And I looked into this pen. I said, "Wow." How many of you say, "Wow"? And you just wish, I wish they don't remember asking me back for this pen. And let me tell you, let me tell you, Julius, open confession is good to the soul. I almost made out to the door. But let me tell you, Holy Spirit, thank you. See, I better be real. Because you have done it. See, you do it all the time. No. You know what? At Empowerment Christian Center, Sister Anne, people have really become holy here. They don't do those things. These are people that are done by other churches. Are you hearing me? So I was meeting up by the door, and the Holy Spirit told me, if you leave with this pen, I'm going to do something to her. You know, I said, oh, you know what? Oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. You gave me this pen, and I'm sorry, you know. And I returned the pen. Just the other day, I went to Walmart here. Let me tell you, there are things that really disturb me. And this is a cliche, because let me tell you, people go into shopping. If you ask yourself, can Jesus do the things you do? Man, I am going to buy some things for the church here, some little groceries here we needed here. And I found milk, believe it or not. It was okay in a refrigerated place, but it was where the vegetables and all the potatoes were. I really felt bad. I told my daughter, we were with Susie. I told Susie, "Susie, I can't believe who did this." But I said, it cannot be a member of Empowerment Christian Center, even though they're next year. You know what? I was not intending to buy that milk. And I looked into the expiry date, and I had to buy that milk. Because why would you not return it where it was? Why would you give somebody an extra burden? Are you representing Christ? Do you think Jesus would pick up something from the meek aisle and, you know, say, "Oh, I didn't need this one"? You stuck it in the underwear aisle. Yeah? In the soap section of all, and it's milk. Why you do that? Huh? You carry groceries out of the cart and you just leave it somewhere on the trees everywhere. Where the car, you don't want to, it is written so clearly, please, as a courtesy, to minimize the expenses of this company, return the cards too. And they have designated places where you can return your card. Ozama, somebody will come and pick it up and you go. Jesus Christ lives in you. Jesus can never do that. Jesus will put the groceries in his car and he will return the card where it is. Let me tell you, we have to train ourselves in these little things. Little things in our lives that happen every day. Some of you might think those things don't matter, but they do. Because you practice honesty, you practice truthfulness. And let me tell you, when you get into that vehicle called faith, that vehicle will not be cracked. Some of us are going in the vehicle called faith is going just like this. Because you have cracks over, because you still have staples, you stole from the staples place, you chorindered something somewhere. But you need, when you get into that faith vehicle, you're going straight into the unseen realm. Are you listening to me? What is the state of your faith vehicle? Huh? I'm going to start visiting one of you one of these fine days to find out. We have to practice doing these things. Praise be to God. Little by little. Because you know what? We have crossed over. The barrier of limitfulness has been broken. And we have to operate in a higher realm. God is not looking for any angels to accomplish his purposes here on earth. He is looking for generated people like you and me to accomplish a higher and noble cause. Are you listening to me, church? It might be hard, but this is the truth. Glory be to Jesus. Romans 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. See what even Paul admonishes the Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because he knows as long as you operate with your old carnal mind, it is going to be inclined to carnal things. And therefore you would not be able to accomplish higher things that God expects us to accomplish. Do not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. There is no way any sinner will be able to comprehend what the perfect will of God is concerning humanity. It is until it is that mind that has completely been transformed that is able to now know this is the perfect will of the Lord. Praise be to God. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but to think so as have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each one a measure or of faith. Praise be to God. Romans chapter 8, I think I read that one. Praise be to God. The concept of faith. There are so many things, church, as I conclude, in our that we ought to go into the unseen realm to pull them out so that they can be manifest. And I want to ask you this question. What is it that you have in your life that has nagged you for too long? Have you really tried by your own abilities, using your mind, using the very common senses that God has given you to work out something within your life? I put it across to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it is not going to happen. God has called us for a higher life. Praise God. And in order for us to pull things that we cannot see so that they can now be seen in our physical eyes, it is not going to take anything that is in the natural realm. But it's going to take somebody who takes faith. It amazes me that Abraham, through faith, he just journeyed to a place where he did not even know. That even in the Old Testament, the Lord really put it so strongly on this man of faith. And they did exploits just because of trusting God and getting into the vehicle called faith. Praise be to God. For everyone who is born of God, 1 John 5:4. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Do you listen to that? Everybody, listen. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. You have the capabilities and the potential to overcome everything, any things, any spirit of the devil, any mechanisms that has been set against you. You can demolish. Anyone who is born of God has overcome the world. And this is the victory that proves that we have overcome the world, that we have faith. Praise God. Say, I thank you, Lord, for faith. I thank you for faith. Use it. Use that faith. You can use that faith to serve God more. You can use that faith to come to church early. You can, let me tell you, when you know that God has done something in your life, guys, listen to me, man, and I'm going to let you go. Why is it that we can wake up very early in the morning, use our 5 common senses, and we don't get late for work? Hello? We don't get late for work. When was the last time you were late for work? Let me see the show of hands. When was the last time you were late for work? Okay, thank you very much. When was the last time you came on time to church?
I told you, Empowerment Christian Center, we are good people and the Lord is doing wonderful things.
I don't really, seriously, think of what God expects. God has blessed you, but we honor the blessing more than the blesser. Because if we honor the blessings more, and I'm speaking to me too. If I honor the blessing, the blesser more, then I would honor him. I was telling my sisters, we were left here just last Sunday. And when everybody left this house, there were bottles everywhere. There was papers everywhere. In this is the house of God.
It is not just a rented space in this strip mall. This is where we meet and call to God concerning our needs. Is somebody listening to my voice? Can it be the responsibility of everybody before you go home, if you're seated with a chair there, if you find something on the house of God, pick it up and put it on the trash? Those are things that faith can do. I was asking those women, how many of you really can leave this being your house, can leave this house in this state? And you go to work and you're, oh, you don't worry, the ball is everywhere. But, you know, everything is so in a disarray. It happened to Eli. You remember what he did? What happened to Eli? I was talking to the man of God. What happened to Eli? He didn't even take care. The sons were just eating up the sacrifices, sleeping with women, even in the temple. Eventually, what did God do? He killed them. That same God is the one who killed the sons of Eli, Phinehas and Hophni, right? And eventually, because of not taking care of the house of God, the presence, the Ark of the Covenant was taken from them. And guess what? When he learned that the presence of God has been removed, let me tell you, if the presence of God would be removed from this house, it would be no more. The guy just died. That's what the Bible says. He died. So we got to take, let's use the concept of faith. You know, when you have faith, you love God more. You'll have the zeal of the house of God. You wake up in the morning and make sure that you don't go to work before you have commanded your day. You told us that. You have to command your day. This day is going to be great. I am going to succeed. Every bank account that is empty, God, I get into the spiritual realm. I pull that money that is supposed to belong to me and I declare it so in the name of Jesus. You can do it. You have power and authority. Stand up on your feet. I know I've stepped on you today. I know you still love me. Hold the hand of the person standing next to you. I'd like you to declare goodness and mercy. Pray that God will give them the boldness to enter into the throne room of God without any fear of being intimidated. Come on, do that right now. Hold the person standing next to you. Open up your mouth and declare something. Tell God, God, I pray for my sister. I pray for my brother. Give them the boldness that they need to face their future, to face their life in the name of Jesus. Pray that God will renew their zeal of the house of God in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. Tell God something concerning their lives. Oh, yes, God. Father, renew our concept of faith. Renew our concept of serving you. Renew our concept of the prince of holding the principles of the living God dear to our hearts. We thank you. We honor you. We exalt you, Jesus. You are wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Being in that mood of prayer. Hallelujah. Being in that mood of prayer, you might be in this house. You've never given your life to Jesus. And Jesus desires to come into your heart. When he comes into your heart, he knocks on the door. The Bible says, do not harden. When that knock comes, he says, I'm willing to come and gain residence into your life. If only you can believe that I died and I'm sitting on the right hand side of my Father. And if only you could confess with your mouth, you could be born again. It's as simple as that. And then you begin a life of serving God. As a child of God, lift up your hand. We'd like to pray with you. If you want me to pray that kind of a prayer to accept Jesus into your heart, lift up your hand right now in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. I worship you. Lord, I pray that you see these dear ones. These are your children. Children that you've purchased by the blood of Jesus. Father God, you've redeemed them from hell. You've redeemed them from an untold misery that the enemy plotted against them. I pray, Father, that you shall completely give them the zeal of the house of God. Give them the desire, yes, to serve you genuinely in the name Jesus. Father God, you have a seal of ownership into every single one of them, Lord, and I know you're taking their places. Those who are faced with struggles, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you shall cause them, Father, even to flourish and even to have a breakthrough in everything that they face in their lives. Lord, for those that are financially strapped, I pray, Lord, that you shall break for the cistern, Lord, that will bring financial breakthroughs into their lives in the name of Jesus. Those that are sick, Lord, I declare as your servant, Lord, that you shall heal their bodies, because Lord, you carried our sickness and diseases so that they can be whole in the name of Jesus. Those that may have not even experience peace this month, Lord. I pray that the peace that surpasses understanding, oh God, shall flood their homes in the name of Jesus. Whoever needs a miracle, let them receive right now in the name of Jesus. Let them receive the miracle. I get into the supernatural, Lord, and pull whatever everybody desires. And Lord, make it manifest on their behalf that they may be glad and know that you're God. I thank you and I bless you, Father. Bless your people, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody say it. Amen. Give Jesus a mighty hand.